Good evening and welcome to the Business of Government Hour, Conversations with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. To find out more about the endowment's research and programs, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour focuses on outstanding government executives who are changing the way government does business. Our special guest tonight is Josh Gottbaum, Executive Associate Director and Controller of the U.S. Office of Management and Budget. Welcome, Josh.
Good to be here.
Thank you. Well, let's start by finding out more about the organization and your job. Can you tell us about OMB and your role as controller?
Well, as you might know, OMB is the president's eyes and ears for watching how the rest of the government functions. We put together the budget proposal each year from all the agency requests, reconciling them, compromising them, coordinating them. And we also provide the ongoing oversight as agencies implement programs throughout the year. So it's a small organization. It has about 500 people. Almost all of them are career civil servants. They are spectacularly competent. They make the very few of us who are political appointees, what my friend John Koskinen called the temporary help, look much better than we are. There are about 20 of us who are political appointees. And within the organization, I have two hats. I'm the executive associate director, which means I'm part of the senior management and help Jack Liu, the director, the deputy director, the deputy director for management, run the place. And I'm also the controller, which means I run the Office of Federal Financial Management, whose special mission is to improve the quality of financial management in the federal government.
Throughout your career, you've worked in a number of different places, the White House, the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the private sector. Can you tell us about your career and the various positions you've held?
I started out of graduate school. I went to law school and the Kennedy School. And in the Carter administration, actually, my first job was an internship in the Office of Management and Budget in the mid-70s, but my first full job was in the White House Energy Staff in the Carter administration. When they created the Department of Energy, I moved there, had a couple of jobs there. I then went to work for President Carter's inflation advisor, Alfred Kahn, on the wage price program and regulatory issues, and then went to work for his domestic policy advisor, Stuart Eisenstadt, on economic policy matters. I then was forcibly relocated professionally by 50 million voters and worked briefly on Capitol Hill in the Senate for Gary Hart doing economics and budget matters, and then went to Wall Street, where I was hired at Lazard Frere, first as an associate and then vice president and so on, to do merger and acquisition work, financial restructuring, financial advisory work, initially for corporations, but also eventually for labor unions and governments in the U.S. and Europe. I did that for 13 years. When President Clinton was elected, I went to the Defense Department in a newly created job, Assistant Secretary for Economic Security. They said the Defense Department is restructuring. The defense industry is restructuring. We'd like a restructuring expert who wasn't steeped in defense lore to help us do it in a more businesslike fashion. And so I worked there for Secretary Perry and Deputy Secretary John Deutsch, working on base closure, on privatization, on how the department should respond to industry consolidation. It was a spectacular job, and I learned a great deal. I then went to work for Bob Rubin and Larry Summers as their Assistant Secretary of Treasury for Economic Policy, working on everything from budget to Social Security and Medicare policy. And then 3 years ago came to OMB, where, as I say, I work in the management and then try especially to improve government management efforts, especially in financial management, but in other areas as well.
You describe working at the Department of Defense as well as the Department of Treasury. And I'm curious, how would you contrast the different departmental cultures in government?
Oh, they are very substantial. I think the differences really come from whether or not an agency is operating a program, an operating agency, or an agency that's providing oversight. The Defense Department delivers a service. It's an unusual service. It's one you hope doesn't have to get delivered too often, but puts people and material in odd places at difficult times. Most federal agencies are in a different business. They are in the business of words. They write checks, they write speeches, they write regulations. And they're on the policy side of the shop. And what you discover is that that difference changes the way the agency operates. For example, one of the things that is true in the Defense Department and almost no place else in government is that it is really the case that even the political appointees in the Defense Department run their day on a schedule and they deliver on that schedule. In most of the civilian agencies, for perfectly good reasons, other things come in. Policymaking comes in. You have to respond to one firefight by deferring another. So one difference is the culture of operations versus the culture of policymaking. Another is the extent to which an agency is dominated by career professionals versus political professionals. I've been fortunate both in OMB and Treasury and Defense to work in agencies where the career staff are terrific. They are extraordinary professionals. They hold their own against professionals any place. And as a result, there is a greater sense of history, appreciation, organization, and process than, for example, when I worked in the White House itself in the Carter administration.
How about the differences between the public sector and the private sector? What's it like to move back and forth?
Moving back and forth is like moving between Mars and Earth successively to an extraordinary extent, which is not always appreciated by people in government. In business, the bottom line is the bottom line. You do those things which generate a profit. You're focused on getting the deal done, getting the service delivered, getting the product to market, etc. And people worry much less about how you do it, what the process is, how inclusive you are, etc. Government is quite different. In government, constituencies matter. Democracy was not intended to be efficient. It isn't. But that means that even folks who are delivering a service or making a decision in government have to pay attention to a lot of factors and constituencies that folks in the business community just don't. For example, when I would buy something, contract for a service, whether it's a consultant from PwC or computer services, et cetera, on the street, I might interview a couple of folks. I might take a recommendation from someone who I trusted, et cetera. Then I'd negotiate. I'd agree on a price. I'd sign a contract. Sometimes I wouldn't even sign a contract. Okay. In the federal government, you couldn't do that. Whether generally for well-intentioned reasons, but for a variety of reasons, the Congress has said that I can't buy anything in the federal government without publishing detailed specifications, except for very tiny contracts. I have to make sure that a broad array of folks read it. I have to give special emphasis to particular kinds of businesses. And I am constrained in the way I can evaluate, pay for, and charge. So there really is a world of difference from one to the other. And that's why it's not always a surprise when somebody comes from the business community with a terrific reputation and they're seen in government as overly aggressive, not very politic, and why when someone moves from government to business, they're seen as overly surface, overly concerned with marketing, and not directed enough.
What positions provide you with the best opportunities to develop as a leader?
Each of them has offered opportunities. What I found in the Defense Department was that because the world had changed so much for defense, the defense budget had been reduced in real terms over a decade by 40%, there was a realization that they needed to do things differently. They needed to do business in a different fashion. There was no consensus on how, but there was a recognition that things needed to change. And so, for example, one of the things that Secretary Perry said is, we've got to improve the quality of housing. We no longer have a draft military. We've got folks who have to want to reenlist. And so we went forward and said, how can we take advantage of the extraordinary expertise in the business community to use private techniques to get housing? And there was a real openness within DOD to adopt those techniques, to consider those techniques, to try those techniques, that I found enormously refreshing, and I came away with extraordinary respect for the Defense Department and the military.
Great. It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.